Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
A lot of people don't realize that EMS, the emergency medical system, has a variety of providers available. And some calls need higher level skilled people and some don't. And many centers, 911 centers, can actually walk you through what to do if, you know, something happens until the EMS arrives. My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murray. So what can people expect? God forbid you have to call 911. I just hate the thought of it, but what do we do? What should we be prepared for them to ask us, and what should we be prepared to tell them?
Well, you're right that being prepared is really the critical thing, because this is something we don't like to think about, but if you can kind of do a dry run in your head, you'll be ready, because we all know in talking with families that have been through a crisis that when your loved one is sick, it feels like the problem is going on for hours. It feels like everything is moving through molasses. So be ready with knowing where you are. It sounds silly, but if you're at a relative's house, you might not know that address. You just know how to get there, but you don't necessarily know that house number. So knowing where you are, knowing phone numbers of where you are, and reminder of the medical history of the people around you. If you're driving on the expressway, kind of check yourself every once in a while and say, am I traveling south or north? It can be very confusing if you see an accident to try to figure out exactly where you are. And a lot of times the 911 centers can help you with that, but be ready with that type of information that normally you would think is basic, but again, in a crisis, you could fumble through it easily.
So if we have to call 911, when we might need a higher level skilled person, do they automatically know if we say, okay, my child can't breathe, or she's turning blue, or she broke her arm, or something along those lines, they know who to send? Or do they just have, you know, sort of your basic people that go out on all the runs?
That's a great question. And there's kind of a joke in emergency medical services that says, you know, once you've seen one EMS system, well, you've just seen one EMS system. There's a variety of services out there. Some ambulances work with the fire department. Some ambulances are separate from the fire department. It can be a variety of different services in your area. So what has happened over the years is this has actually been very, very well studied, kind of looking through the complaints. So obviously, somebody who's not breathing, that requires a high level of care, that requires immediate assistance right away, and that also potentially can benefit from actions right then and there. So the person is on the phone with you, the 911 telecommunicator is going to ask you a variety of questions. What was going on at the time? Does this person have a background medical history that would make sense for why all of a sudden this dramatic thing is happening? And then, of course, where you are, and we're going to get help to you. Keep in mind that as the person is gathering information from you, they are then sending it in real time to the dispatcher. So you don't have to complete that conversation with one person before an ambulance, before help is actually getting dispatched to you. All of that is happening in real time. I think a lot of times people think, just get me the help. Stop asking me these questions. Just get me the help. But in reality, that's happening behind the scenes to you. So they're going to ask questions, and they're going to say, well, all right, if the person is not breathing, exactly what are you seeing? What position is the person in? Can you perhaps move them in a different way? Do you need to start rescue breathing? And if so, I can walk you through what you need to do. So there's a whole variety of stuff. And you're right, you know, should you stub your toe or have something that seems relatively minor, could be painful and awful to you, but perhaps you don't need a person with the highest level of care. Perhaps you broke your arm and you just physically can't drive yourself to the emergency department to seek care, so you need somebody who can help you, make you more comfortable. But again, it's not potentially a life-threatening situation, but you certainly need assistance.
So we shouldn't be frustrated when they are asking us all those questions. We have to understand that, you know, they're asking us these questions for a reason, so that they can, you know, figure out the best person, figure out the best way for the person to get there. Now, speaking of directions, with the age of GPS and cell phones, even cell phones, they can kind of figure out where you are, right? I mean, if you didn't know.
They kind of can. They kind of can and they kind of can't. So there has been federal mandates that were put in place to say cell phone companies should share location information with 911. And that's from a very basic standpoint, basically kind of giving the XY coordinates of longitude and latitude of where that cell phone is. But then the next step was to take that information and actually put it on a map somewhere that somebody could use. So over the years, that has certainly been phased in, but you can imagine there's some expense that goes with it. But in general, that is something that has become pretty widespread. Certainly if you're calling from a landline, a traditional house phone, they can figure out exactly where you are. Cell phones can get you connected to the correct 911 center. In general, they can figure out where you are as well. Some areas even have some satellite imagery where they might not necessarily be able to get real-time photos, but they can get a photo of the area and say, are you near the elementary school or are you closer to the gas station? They can look at pictures of the general area where you are to kind of help pinpoint your location even better.
And I would just like to add a word of my own to the listeners along with this, Dr. Murray. And we have a lake house, and I decided, because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, I called the non-emergency police department and asked what would happen if I called 911, if they knew where we were, who would I call, how long would it take, you know, for the system to go through to get to where I am. And she said, well, let's try it. And she said, call 911. And I was like, well, what's going to happen? She says, I'm going to answer the phone. And so we did that. And when I called, she answered and she said, you know, hello and everything. And she said, I see that you're blah, 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 which was about a block from where we were. But we did this in advance just so that I could know for my own edification what would happen. And I wouldn't be stuck going, oh my God, I hope they're going to realize this. So preparation and thinking ahead is kind of a big key for this. Now, as an emergency physician, what do you hear parents say? Do some of them like not want to call 911? They rush kids in by themselves. They want to throw them in the car and drive them to the hospital. Are they reluctant to call 911?
We see both things. Sometimes we see people who do exactly what you just said. They're just panicked and they know their child is sick and they grab them and they scoop them up and go. And then there's the other extreme where people think, well, I just didn't want to bother anybody. I just wasn't sure. You know, what if I was wrong and this really isn't a big deal? Well, I think it's always appropriate to trust your instincts and remember that you're not bothering anyone. Paramedics and EMTs and firefighters, they are all there to provide a valuable service. And the worst case scenario is you have a sick person in a vehicle with you and you are now a distracted driver and get into an accident. And then now we've got lots of victims that need care. So there's certainly nothing wrong with trusting your instinct and saying, I need help now. This is bad. We need to call 911. You know, if the thought crosses your mind of, is this a call to 911, then I think you should go ahead and call 911. You know, there's kind of an alphabet soup when we talk about who can come and who are first responders. There's EMTs and first responders and paramedics and firefighters. There's all these different qualifications of people. You know, the days of ambulance drivers is long gone. You can really get a mobile emergency department to your door if needed. And you don't want to have that child in a car seat in the back of the car. You not really be able to see them wondering if they're breathing okay as you're driving down the expressway. You know, the first responders are there to help. Let them do their job and come to you.
And last question, we only have a minute or so left. Can we, when they come and get our children, tell them which hospital to go to? Are they going to go to the closest trauma center? My daughter had a febrile seizure, and they took us further than my pediatrician was not happy about it. Do we say, I want you to go to my hospital where my pediatrician is, or do you just let them take them wherever they go?
It's region-specific, and it's situation-specific. So you mentioned a trauma center. If somebody is in an accident and has a certain type of injury, they might have to go to one certain area because that hospital is ready for it. For example, strokes and heart attacks, not all hospitals are as ready to care for that type of very significant illness that needs highly specialized care. Not all hospitals have pediatricians associated with them. Some hospitals deliver lots of babies, but once a baby is born, they actually don't have services to care for that child. So you do certainly can state your suggestion and your recommendation, but there will be certain times when that's just not going to work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Elizabeth Murray, on what to expect when you call 911. And the key message here is be prepared. Know where you are. Know what the situation is when you call. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.